Hello, you're listening to Spoiler.
Build.
Film.
Conversation.
Hooray!
Fuck's sake.
Look, the podcast doesn't change its title because you didn't enjoy the film, Jamie. The name of the podcast,
is Hooray. Hold on. I quite like spoiler-filled film conversation, for fuck's sake.
Well, that's what the listeners call it, you know, I presume.
I would like the idea of people being fans and abbreviating this podcast to just, for fuck's sake.
Has it come to this? Well, hopefully it has come to this, listener. I'm Richard Nicholas, hello. With me to do the podcast is Anthony Evans.
Hello, sailor.
Jamie Thomas.
Hello.
And Abigail Bain.
Yeah, I can't top that one. Now you've started the podcast out on the right foot there, Anthony. Thank you.
It feels like every time we watch a film, it sets a tone for how we should speak. And just this time, we're all going to be fighting, doing outrageous camp voices. The film this week, I chose, and it was The Gay Deceivers. Yeah, it's interesting. Abby, just so people aren't confused as to which gays are deceiving them, what am I talking about, Abby?
If we could ever discern that. We are talking about The Gay Deceivers from 1969. It's about Danny and Elliot, who avoid military service by pretending to be gay, but they have to act the part when the recruiting officer doesn't buy it.
Oh no!
It's directed by Bruce Kessler, written by Abe Polsky, Gil Lasky, and, sorry, I need to press the button, Jerome Wish. Stars Kevin Coughlin, Brooke Bundy, Lawrence P. Casey, Joanne Harris, and Michael Greer.
Yeah, thank you, Abby. Very, very well read. It is about a couple of heterosexual men deceiving the military so they can avoid being in the army, which I think is fair enough. No one wants to be in the army if they don't, you know. I mean, it's not nice to lie, listener. Like, that's my ethics. But, you know, if you don't want to die, I mean, fair enough. It's not that cowardly, is it? I mean, it's cowardly, but it's acceptable. I don't think people should be subscripted. I don't know why I'm getting so sort of. I don't know why I'm putting a mission statement out there.
It's a very political beginning to a really politically incorrect and offensive film.
Yeah, I don't know. Have your own opinions if about whether you should go to war for your country or not.
But, just have your own opinions generally.
No, only on that. That issue is the only thing you'll... Anything else, my opinion first. Whatever. The point is, I picked this film not because of it was a tantalising concept, though I think it is. The reason I picked it is... I follow different people on Tumblr, one of which is the creators of Modern Toss, a rather funny, sweary and diabolical cartoon, which is kind of British, kind of... It's too long. Modern Toss is good. Check it out at your leisure. They posted a link to the best clip from this film, which is the incredibly overly camp landlord from the film who says one of the cattiest and funniest lines I've ever heard. And it's such an outrageous yes. moment. And it's essentially just a cliched gay man going, "I may not know anything about flowers, but I know a bitch when I see one." That's my approximation. It is so much better. And that clip made me go, what is this from? This is too funny. Like, there's more to the bit as well. Like the partner of the guy comes out and reacts, and his reaction is great as well. It's just, watch that. If nothing else of the film, Google The Gay Deceivers Flowers. It is worth your time.
It is a weird shining beacon of wonderfulness in the middle of all of this.
Yes, it's a meme of its own, really. But I was like, I have to watch the whole of this to find out what the context was. And I thought I'd share it with you guys. I expected it to be a little bit terrible and potentially offensive. I was pleasantly surprised. I'm getting the sense Jamie wasn't pleasantly surprised. So, you know, what were you guys expecting? Anthony,
I think I was in the kind of same boat as you. Like, from what you showed us and you talked about it a little bit, I was kind of expecting something really kind of offensive and just terrible, if you know what I mean. Yeah. So I was kind of prepared for that going in, going to be kind of like indignant and to hate it and be like, oh God, the 60s. But like you said, it wasn't that bad. And I can see that they were perhaps trying to be a little progressive with what they were trying. So maybe I kind of enjoyed it a little bit more than I should have. It was more an interesting look at the past and how different it really was.
Yeah. That again, that's a reason when I saw it, I was like, I have to show this. This is a show. This isn't a keep to myself. This is a share. So I'm glad we're on the same page. Abby, your thoughts before seeing the film?
Again, that clip was the only thing I really had to go on. But I thought it was going to be a lot worse than it was, because it had a similar look to it as Eager. And even though I really like Eager, the what's the word? The production quality of Eager
very
is awful.
Very cheap.
Yes. So I was expecting that kind of thing.
So bad it's good, but then actually Igar's quite good in a way, but you were expecting it to be Drek, like cheaply made stuff.
Mm.
And it wasn't as cheap as that. I mean, you know, it certainly wasn't really expensive and glamorous or whatever, but...
Did anyone feel like it was just a kind of extended kind of 60s sitcom, kind of like Bewitched or I Dream of Jeannie or something like that?
That's I wish kind of... so much it was about Malcolm.
I could watch him in a sitcom.
Yes.
Think of appropriately like punny camp name, camping up appearances or something like that.
Yeah, it was just the way that everyone looked and how they were playing it and all those just stupid kind of, oh, this is funny, time to laugh noises that they do in like 60 sitcoms.
You could have had some...
Wah, 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 stuff like that.
Pump in some canned laughter. Yeah, actually, I might commission that. That'd be good. Right, let's turn to Jamie, who I'm sure will go very quickly into vile anger and frustration. Jamie, what were you expecting from this before you watched it?
Well, it's funny, actually, you should say that. The 60s sitcom with the, you know, stupid cues for laughter and stuff. That's actually that was what I was expecting. And there were moments where it was there, but there were also points where the film got weirdly dark.
Mm.
And
you're right.
And also, I wasn't expecting the film to have two completely irredeemable, unlikable lead characters who get like no either redemption or comeuppance. I thought the film was going to be kind of light and forgettable, and it ended up just being strangely dark. And then at the end, I was like, no, fuck you. Like, I wanted them to end up being drafted and to die in Vietnam, because they were both
one of my things about this as well. Where it doesn't obey any of the rules of film that came later. Where it's like, they get no retribution,
yeah.
You don't appeal to them, and they don't even have, oh, one of them's really gay. It's just...
Yeah,
oh.
I thought it was going to do that. I thought Elliot was going to turn out to be gay, because he's so game for it the whole time.
Yeah.
Mm.
They do get like a sort of comeuppance at the end. I think his dad says in passing, like, this will be on your permanent record for forever. You'll never get a government job anymore. Like, you'll never get the chance of getting that high in the career just because you pretended to be gay.
Until the 80s, like, wow, whatever forgives you.
That's a really weird note to end on.
Mm.
But, as we know, it's fine, because people will slowly come round to liking gay people. In the majority. So that record's not so big a deal now, is it? Although they're older, doesn't matter. I will say, there was a tag on the end of the film that was meant to make it light-hearted and not just a downer. They did go, and this is spoilers, so Tough Tits, that's the name of the show. Actually, Tough Tits isn't the name of the show, but you get what I'm saying. They did the joke of, and it the, turns out the guys were kept out of the army because the army men assessing them were gay themselves. And don't want to...
fuck's
they
sake.
Don't want to let straight people in, you see? Da, 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 da. Like,
so... right. That also, don't forget, is immediately following a strangely somber scene where these two guys say goodbye to each other and talk about what they're going to do now. And then we go up to, oh, but they're gays in the army and they don't want straights in. And it does the, it properly does the, like, you know, boing, and then, like, freaking, what's it called? When it, like, tunnels into a, like, not a fade out, but the screen just tunnels down into a circle, and it may as well have done that.
That's all, folks.
Like, yeah.
Well, here's what I would say.
Shit.
Calm down. It wasn't that bad a joke. They had to do something like that to have it pay off in some way. But what are you really going to have? They get forced to join the army to pay for being jerks through the whole film, and then, ironically, they get raped in a pit. By the war, but like they get like raped in Vietnam by the.
No, I wasn't gonna promote the idea of punishing them with rape. I would be satisfied if they just died in Vietnam.
They get there and all of the Viet Cong are gay. They're imprisoned and they're all like they dress them up and make them put on a drag show or something.
Ah, oh, there's so much just gross about this film.
No, let's wind back, because that's, I feel like I already have to come to the defence of it. I don't think the film's the best ever. It's certainly taboo in many ways, and also, you know, it does drop in some language which, you know, modern hipster audiences would be like, oh, how shocking, they said the F-bomb. They can't say that, and I do not mean fuck. I mean the one that is a type of meaty food, or a cigarette, whichever.
Oh, Jesus, yeah, that... Oh.
But that's the time, it's the 60s, there was a lot more homophobia.
Yes, but, and again, I don't want to get into a tangent already, but every time they use that word, it's said with such vitriol. Like, it's said with such a disgust.
But it's meant to be negative when it's said. It's not meant to be, we're just saying lols. Like,
I know.
Like YouTubers but again, or something.
But again... The characters never... There's nothing... It just makes them even more unlikable than they already are, like, and then nothing happens to redeem it. It's not like... they never say, oh, turns out Malcolm's actually a really nice guy, though, isn't he? Because, no, at the end of the film, Malcolm throws a party, and every gay person at that party is a sexual predator.
Yeah, or a drag queen, yeah.
Yeah!
Well, hang on now. let's get some focus. I was just... How do I defend something that's? It's
the only defense I can think for it is that it's probably not as bad as you think it's going to be. But then that's not really a defense.
I have a thing.
Yes.
About it, where Malcolm is a nice guy. Malcolm doesn't do anything wrong, like it socially, at all. He's really nice. He makes a breakfast. He's a very good landlord.
Everyone likes him in the story.
Mm-hmm.
And, like, you say that everyone at the party is a sexual predator, but if you think about parties in general, like, the people who go to parties are a certain kind of person.
No, I see what you're saying, but it's the fact that the film presents all of them as these weird, gross, monster people. Like,
No, I don't think that's true. I don't think that's true at all. There's broad stereotypes used a lot. Obviously, but it's not making a mission statement about all gay people. It's just using stereotypes to tell jokes, I guess.
Yeah, but the joke is gay men want to have sex with all men.
No, it's not. the joke is about this. The two main characters who are straight, they're both young, attractive men, and one of them is like, he's a kind of a hunk and a womanizer. Hold on.
Wait, this is a point I wanted to get across. How old are they supposed to be? Like, they're going
out of
off
high
to school,
university.
College. Yeah, Danny. Yes, Elliot is in his fucking 40s. There is no way he's under at least 35.
Okay, this is the main thing I want to emphasise. Context is very important here. It was the 60s. It was a different time. Homophobia was more normal and more prevalent in society. Also, stereotypes like gay characters were getting into the media because, yes, it was funny to make gay jokes, but also it's a progression. It's, you know, it's not being hushed up and hidden away. It's being talked about, initially laughed at, but then, you know, as time goes on, people get used to it, and it's not about laughing at someone because they're gay. It's, you know, I'm not giving a history lesson. I'm just saying there's a context to the 60s, and this film wasn't trying to poke fun at gay people necessarily. I think it was a bit, but it was a positive film about gayness and society accepting
people. I think they were aiming for a positive film.
Yes.
Yes.
But they still had a kind of 60s mindset. So
there's
quite
a
blurred.
Here. Yeah, because this isn't just about the promiscuity of gay men in the 1960s. Before the AIDS epidemic, literally everyone was having sex all of the time.
Mm.
They're not different to the everyone. Other people there.
that's another thing, actually, that stood out to me. Like the whole thing about the characters being irredeemable, and Elliot in particular. Danny comes across as kind of a... He's a scumbag, but he's the brains of the operation, whereas Elliot's just this guy who sleeps with anyone and everyone, but is also a dick. And the main reason he's a dick is that his main girlfriend, whose name I don't remember, she's Danny's younger sister.
Which is the perfect
model. Yes. Yeah. He's preying on a mentally challenged... tell me.
They're just ding dongs. Is that what they call them? The bimbos. Yeah. The ding dongs. Yeah. I think that's what they call
but
them.
Tell me, Bunny. Honestly, that girl who. Yeah, Bunny, that's it. Who all she ever says is, oh dear, isn't special needs. Because she is.
Right.
That's how the film portrays her, and Elliot's totally all over her the whole time.
I'm not going to say they're not jerks.
Easy target.
Okay, let's. We get introduced to these two main characters, and what I love about it is very early on they start using flower cutouts to show the characters talking.
My God.
So
they never do it again.
And so, like, is it trying to say something about pansies and stuff? And, like, they just open... I think the end credits have, like, silhouettes like flowers as well. I kind of loved how cutesy and stupid it was. But it's quite efficient in the setup of the film. It really, like, it goes at the drafting board for the armies, or whatever the hell it's called, and they show a guy who's put down loads of reasons why he doesn't want to be in the army, like he's a, you know, big, cowardly, ill person, and he wets himself, and the military bloke is like, yeah, get some rubber sheets, you'll be fine, see you in the army. And they set up, like, oh no, some people don't want to be subscripted, and it's lame. And then our two main characters... Actually, I think we're introduced to someone who isn't the main character. A guy walks in with a funny hat on and pink trousers and sits down next to our main characters, who are dressed slightly flamboyantly. And are basically, the joke of the start is they say they want to be in the army, but act very gay in that they come up to the board as a couple and they behave camply and like look like they love each other, even though they're saying they, you know, they're not, or that there's some ambiguity. And this is like, you know, the bluff element. You know, I think it's a workable opener. Like, I thought they did all right with the...
It is. And it's not... The concept is perfectly fine. It's the execution that is the problem.
Hmm.
Yeah, it's just a bit weird and not funny.
And I think... And I am one of those people, and I'm sure I've done it in multiple episodes that we've done... who always says you have to remember the context of the time a film was made in. Mm. And you can use that defense for this-ish, but the problem is so much of it is wrong-headed, and that it's the same as looking back on a terrible Adam Sandler film 20 years on and saying, well, you know, you have to understand the context of the time. No, it was shit when it came out as well. It's still ignorant and offensive. It's just it's easier to explain why many years later. But
yeah.
If it's bad enough, that doesn't excuse it. Like, there's a difference between this and Cruising, which we did before, because Cruising was a film that caused a lot of controversy when it came out and was was deemed homophobic by a lot of people. But the thing is, there is substance beyond that to cruising. And it's, you know, William Friedkin obviously was fascinated with, and, you know, didn't necessarily present it as well as he could have in a way that's sort of even. But the film ultimately isn't, look at all these gross pervy gays.
Well, cruising makes out gays to be serial killers, and this film makes them out to be camp laughable men. But I take your point. You can forgive... You could forgive it if it wasn't intentionally kind of... Its sense of humour is, look at these stereotypes, aren't they funny? Ha ha, gay men being gay, ha 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 ha.
Oh, they all fancy each other, they all fancy the main characters. Gay men,
No, it isn't...
My problem with this is actually, like, the biggest problem I have with this is that it's flimsy rather than it's stereotyped. Yeah.
Sure, Abby,
it's just a sort of like this. The story, so they have a series of sort of misadventures, but there's no resolution to it at all.
Well,
and
yeah, it just plods along.
I don't know. I'm really surprised that we like. Okay,
I've got a question. Who was this aimed at? Because there is a lot of kind of like homoeroticism in there, like a lot of it, and
I
it's
know.
Like.
That was another thing I thought.
Did they think that they were kind of half marketing this to a gay audience to enjoy?
Fetishize Elliot.
I think it was. I think it was aimed at.
Did they think that this is what gay people wanted to see in like the 60s?
Do you know what? I'm not gonna. I don't know. I wasn't gay and in the 60s. but I think if you haven't been represented in film and TV very much, I mean, you know, it's not. That progressive to just have a gay character in something to be mocked in a TV show or whatever, but you want to see your lifestyle in cinema when it hasn't been in it before, and you know, just the gay people might find some of the jokes funny, they might find some offensive, but they'd probably be quite pleased that their lifestyle's being represented, and there are genuine gay people in it. It's not just, you know, straight people pretending to be gay, or well, it is that is the plot, but there are gay people acting in it who are genuinely gay. And
then,
I think it is actually meant to be funny to both liberals and gay people, but also, you know, people who are maybe a bit...
Danny's dad.
Yeah, more conservative, you know, thinking. But you're not going to laugh at it. If you're sitting there conservatively going, oh, it's not right, oh, they're all horrible, then you won't laugh at the stereotypes because you're a fear-mongerer and you're frightened of that community. This film... is going to be enjoyed by slightly more liberal people who think gayness is a little bit cheeky and funny and should be talked about, you know?
Okay, do you know what? I think you're right, and I think that's actually pinpointed what my problem with this is. Like, beyond it's just kind of offensive and it makes a lot of assumptions, it's patronising.
Maybe it's, now, but it, back then, it, you know, people generally...
I think it was patronising then, too, because the gay community as it was in the 60s, I assume. I don't know, again, because I wasn't a gay man in the 60s. but it takes a really exaggerated view of gay people and goes, yeah, this is what they're like.
Well, you know, in fairness, the stereotype...
It doesn't... I think the problem is that it doesn't offer any kind of... I think the same thing kind of happened in Cruising, and I think that's what caused a lot of the kind of homophobic... questions about it, but it doesn't present an alternative.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? All the gay people you meet are camp and kind of
gay,
deviant.
Yeah.
I think there's a... I disagree with you guys slightly, because 60s cinema wasn't actually trying to show anything like it was. That's why you had the kitchen sink movement, was because they weren't showing anything like it actually was.
That is true.
And in the gay series, it's like, they're not trying to show gay men for what they are. They're trying to show gay men for the weird 60s zany idea of what they are. It was the same thing with The Nutty Professor. Nothing in The Nutty Professor is like what life is actually like. And
Eddie Murphy's not that fat.
Do you mean the other Nutty Professor?
Yeah,
I do. I mean the original. But so I don't think it's fair to have that argument against it. It's like, oh, they think gays are this. It's like, in the 1960s, they didn't portray anything as what it actually was. That wasn't what you went to the cinema for.
I don't know if, you know, I don't know much about the people who actually made the film into, like, I mean, you know, production-wise, right, the writers and the director. I don't know if any of them were gay, but the film feels like straight Hollywood executives trying to do camp.
Maybe
I think
even...
that's the thing as well, where just you've been given the green light to make a film, but it still has to actually get by people to get made.
Yeah.
If that makes any sense. So I could see how there was sort of a tension here between what you actually wanted to make and what you were allowed to make.
Mm. And, you know, like, from what I understand, and I'm not 100% on anything, so don't take this as fact, but I think the guy playing the landlord, what's his name?
Character's Malcolm, played by Malcolm Greer.
Ah.
Sorry, played by Michael Greer. My apologies.
Michael Greer.
So, from what I understand, Malcolm was played by an actual gay actor who was used on set. Like, he contributed it to help make it less... portray gay people more fairly and not so... Like, he was there to try and help the production be better and not so, like, straight people writing gay jokes, you know? Like, trying to do a genuine job of making it funny but also sensitive to what actual gay people might think of it.
That does come across well with him, because his character, I would say, is really the only likable character in the film. Maybe his partner as well. Because initially, you know, he comes across as he's an absurd stereotype, and you think, oh, God. But as the film goes on, he's him and his partner are both really the only likable. They're the only characters that have any sort of dimension to them.
Mm.
And they're still stereotypes, and they're still absurdly over the top. But they actually have some kind of motivation and intent with all the things they do that isn't being horrible people like the two main characters.
Yeah. They're nice. They're just nice people being nice. And they were genuinely nice characters. And I personally liked them. I mean, they do start off and it's like, oh, God, what is this? This is a terrible stereotype. But, you know, they're so nice. And I think they'd be great neighbours to have, and a lovely landlord. And, I mean, maybe not the interior design element. I think that even if you're gay, I couldn't really stand that. We will talk about that in a bit, but they are definitely the best characters.
It's weird that there is a recurring joke in the gay films I have seen of really gaudy interior design.
Yeah.
It seems to be a thing of which I have no context for.
Oh, they're all interior designers, aren't they? Like, that's it. That's literally the mentality behind that.
I mean, yeah, it's kind of, I mean, lots of things are stereotyped, but these stereotypes exist in the real world and inform, you know, there has to be enough of a pattern in real life for people to make it, like, their general opinion of stuff. I tell you what, let's ask our Talk and Gay podcast. Fancy, you're the only one who's allowed to, anyone obviously have an opinion.
Who's allowed an opinion.
Because
being a gay man in the 60s myself.
No. Yeah. No, in all seriousness, how do you feel about this kind of the stereotype? How do you feel about the stereotypes in this film and generally?
Remember, you're speaking for all gay men ever.
Yes,
so
all gay men.
No pressure.
Represented here by you and your opinion. So
I'm willing to cut this film a lot of slack because I feel like. Like I said at the beginning, it was trying to be progressive about what it was trying to say. Like, I'm pretty sure, like, there can't have been any other films like this at the time. It must have been, like, groundbreaking in that, in terms of its, like, content and the characters that it has, and even some of, like, the language it uses. Apparently, like, this is the first time that the word gay is used in that context in any kind of, like, film ever used, apparently. Really? Yeah. And, you know, it does try and portray the actual kind of problems that the gay community do have. Like, they're constantly being judged by, like, middle-class, older, white American males. And it is kind of sad that that kind of mentality kind of prevails in the end. And the ending of the film, it's rounded off by mainly the dad, like the guy's dad. Is it Elliot's, Danny's dad?
Yeah,
Danny's dad.
Yeah, it just kind of the way it just kind of presents his view as kind of right at the end.
Yeah,
well, normal, I would say, but yeah, sure.
And I can see what they're doing because kind of like that is what it would have been like at the time. But with the kind of like the hindsight of all the decades between, it just leaves a weird taste in your mouth.
This is actually the Danny's dad character who I could see what they were doing with him. He's very straight-laced, old-school, conservative. Obviously wouldn't like his son to be gay. There's a little subplot, or I guess it's part of the main plot, with him that I couldn't tell what it was trying to say or whether or not it was saying it right. And it's when Danny's younger sister goes to visit them, develops these suspicions that he's gay, goes back and obviously tells the dad, and then it cuts to the swimming pool. And I guess that's where Elliot works as a lifeguard, and he's watching him, and there's this really, really gross, and again, for this film, it does not fit the light comedy that the film is going for a lot. It suddenly gets really, really fucking sinister because he's watching him at poolside teach boys, like little boys, like 9 or 10 years old, or maybe even younger, to swim. And there's that shot of him like on the diving board with this kid, like checking his form before he dives in and stuff. And it's the suggestion that the dad thinks, you know, gay men are all paedophiles.
Yeah, but his confirmation. I mean, he's a negative character in that he is quick to judge and is too mean. The main confirmation he gets is his daughter, you know, says it. He can't believe it at first, and then he overhears like shower room banter, joking around, and interprets that as being genuine, and like they make some dropping the soap jokes and stuff, and that's like, my God, my daughter's right. All my prejudices have come to the surface, and now I'm fear mongering and full of hatred, and you know, it's not. I didn't think he was being overly creepy. I just
see. The bit where he's in the showers and the dad overhears him, you know, basically pretending to be gay for a joke with all these other guys, that would have been enough. It didn't need to follow it up with that really creepy scene of like, oh, he's touching up these boys. Like, that was, it was too weird for this film.
But like, that's what people thought.
I know.
That's what people like that thought, is they were worried men were corrupting children, and they were wrong, obviously. I mean, it's not common at all in any way.
I think what Jamie's trying to say is that, yes, those, like, it does try to deal with those kind of themes, but in like a light comedy as it's trying to be, it really doesn't mesh.
This isn't really, I'm drifting away from the homophobia of the film at this point, because it's like, it's an endless topic that just goes round. Like,
he should have been a cartoon idiot. He should have just been, oh, not on my watch.
Because that's what the film establishes for the first chunk of the story. And then it starts to get too heavy and too serious and doesn't. And I think that's where the gay characters in the film, other than Malcolm and his partner, start becoming more sinister as well and predatory, is because the tone of the film shifts really abruptly. It's like a handbrake turn, and suddenly it becomes this almost like a comedy drama rather than just a goofy slapsticky stereotype comedy.
I don't know.
And then all of the things.
I don't think it takes that dramatic a turn. Like, I can see what you're saying. I think there are elements where, because there's so many straight characters who would be mortified if certain characters are gay or confirmed to be gay. So that there's a general sense of suspicion that comes into it once people are starting to think, hang on, are our sons gay? Are the characters in it gay? Are maybe some of the obviously gay, you know, the camp people, you know, Are they potentially a negative influence? There's lots of suspicion going around, and a lot of the straight characters are jerks, and just it's understandable that there's this feeling of the tone changing. But I actually thought, in terms of you saying it's portraying gay people, you know, like a lot of the party, the people in the bar and the people at the party who are gay, I think they're there to be part of the comedy. Like, they're to the scenes, and they're...
But the film at this point has almost dropped the overt comedy, and it's becoming more serious, because it's
towards the part with the party, it kind of builds a couple of, horrible things, the guy is caught trying to sleep with the drag queen by the colonel, who's in the party in a mask for some reason. And then that's followed by Danny and his girlfriend kind of breaking up with him because he can't convince her that he's
really
not gay.
Serious.
Yeah. And like even Malcolm, when he comes in and he tries to like cheer him up, he's just like, it's not happening.
Yeah, so, he's by that point of the film, a different film, and he's like, it's all gone weird.
I think it goes more serious, but I didn't think it was sinister. A lot of the jokes at the party are about, you know, misunderstandings, and you know, they're broad jokes about, who knew that the man dressed as a woman would be the dominant one in the relationship who punches out the masculine one, and like the catty remarks from various costumed guests. It wasn't amazingly funny, but it still was trying to be light as well.
It was, but it was now coming on the back of much heavier things happening around it, so suddenly it's not funny anymore, it's just weird. Also, I want to talk about the party, because is Elliot not only much older than Danny, but also is he like impaired in some way? Because how does he fall for that man in drag, thinking it's genuinely a woman, a broad-shouldered, muscular-legged woman?
I think he was all right.
I'm not saying he wasn't attractive. I'm just saying...
Not saying
he was clearly a man.
Yeah.
Okay, right. Let's it's a comedy.
It's not, though. Only the first 45 minutes is a comedy.
I don't know. Abby, what do you think? Did it stop being a comedy at some point for you, or...?
I think it didn't stop being a comedy at some point. It's that some people carried the comedy with them, and it's whether or not they were present.
Yeah.
It's pretty much just Malcolm, where as soon as he comes in, it's like, oh, yay, Malcolm's here, let's have a good time.
I agree.
As soon as Malcolm leaves, you're like, oh, no.
That's probably why at the start we were like, wouldn't it be a good sitcom, just him and like various people? He could be the funny landlord for various people moving into the area.
Yeah. That is way better. That sounds...
Okay,
oh,
right,
my God.
Right.
Okay, yeah.
Right. Let's...
I didn't know the party comment.
It's that whole argument again of usually you could fix a film by just... It's about the wrong character. It should be about someone else. And that's this film's problem. It's like, why are we following these dicks? We should be following that guy.
Yeah.
Find out what he's doing. What shenanigans is Malcolm up to?
Yeah. I mean... You're right.
Imagine this film from his side, and he actually suspected these guys. It would be like Rear Window. It would be amazing.
Rear Window, right.
That's much better. Sounded. There are so many better ways you could do this other than look at these two dickheads not get any sort of comeuppance for being twats to everyone.
But there are comeuppances. It's just they're mild compared to what they deserve. This is the thing. Let's. Before we get to niggling bits about this bit here bothered me, that bit there, the film, we haven't covered exactly what it's about. So the main problem is these two guys have got out of not being in the army by pretending to be gay, but they're straight. Oh no, one of them is in a relationship with a woman, and the other one is a hunk who like gets with loads of bimbos all the time, and they have to keep up the ruse because the army might be checking them out and investigating and making sure they're not lying to get out of, you know, going to NAM. And so they decide they need to move in together into a camp neighborhood, which I think is a thing, but it's a bit odd that it's like, oh,
it is
a gay,
it is,
the gay
and
region
it was
of
especially
town.
At the time, I think.
Yeah, so it must be. And then like the whole estate agent is like, oh, you don't want to live here, it's it's a very conservative area, and there's like all these slightly feminine men walking around with their dogs with bows on, and so they move into a stereotypically gay house. Like, it's decorated in an oh my god, lavish and garish. Like, what's that bloke from, what's the camp guy from,
Lawrence Llewellyn Bowen.
Yeah, it's like he's done it. It doesn't matter. Yeah. It's just tastelessly, like, pink. It's got, like, a big, they've got, like, a massive, kind of pink bed that they share, completely in pink bedroom. And there's nothing wrong with pink. Fine colour to have on your walls, but it is a bit much. And there's loads of, like, you know, they've gone with the jokes of, like, oh, all of the ornaments are slightly, like, muscly men or something. And, like, it's got loads of tat everywhere. It's kind of tasteless and overly gay interior designery. But, you know, that's the... It's a crap joke, but it is 1969. They haven't tried this stuff out as much for the mainstream audiences. That's the thing. They're two straight guys trying to keep up a pretense. And then they have lovely gay neighbours, a wonderful landlord who's comically gay at times, and getting in hot water because they don't want their family to find out that they're pretending to be gay. They don't want the army to find out they're pretending to be gay. But they have to pretend to be gay. Shit.
That's another thing, like, why one of the scenes was sort of, it felt upside down a bit, was when his sister and her friend, where they come in, they put their foot in it, like, endlessly, and yet somehow they're not the dicks. It was like, no, they were really rude, total assholes, and they should go.
I wanted to talk about the sister, actually, because it's never determined how old she's supposed to be, but she's clearly supposed to be younger than Danny, who is young anyway. And the whole sequence where she, like, tries to seduce Elliot to determine whether or not he's gay, that, and the way it's weird. Played in the film, is weird. It's really, like, gross and ugh. Like,
I don't know. It was just...
And then he can't get it up, and it doesn't, like, play it as a joke. It's just like, no, this is a problem. And
maybe he feels bad for his friend or something.
Yeah, no, he does. I'm not saying that that's not a realistic response to such a weird situation. I'm saying that, like, the film presents it as, with the way the film has joked about things before that, it's not like a... You know, a slide whistle noise and like, wah, wah, uh-oh, can't get a boner. It's like, it's this really weird dramatic scene where Danny walks in and sees his sister and then flashes her tit by accident. Like, it's all really, and that's the other thing as well. This film is really gratuitous about just, look at these tits and these abs and these pecs and
It's appealing to, like, a young demographic of people who want a bit of titillation with their sex comedy.
It's so fucking weird. Yes, it is.
But there's a place for having a little nose at people's abs and arseholes. Ass cheeks.
They got assholes.
Little gratuitous bum cheeks.
Lower intestines.
This film manages to be neither sex nor comedy. Is the weird thing. Yes. It's like, well, it's not, what exactly. Is he doing?
Oh, I don't know. There's only one uphill battle here. Like, I'm trying to defend this thing. And look, the women characters, Abby, we now need to go to you. You are the woman. You shall have the opinion of the women.
With the exception.
Wait, before you answer, and I was disappointed in Anthony because I passed to him for a kind of catty, sassy response with kind of a camp joke and innuendo, and he just gave some nice film thoughts. So when you give a woman's opinion, make sure it's womany enough, because I'm sick of you guys not appealing to the stereotypes.
I can do that for the women, if you like. What a bunch of bitches.
I was going to say that. I'm going to say, with the exception of Mrs. Devlin, who is his mum, they're all a fucking bitch.
No. And you'd think they, like, of all the people, like, the women would come off as, like, the more understanding of the people.
No.
But not at all.
Every female character, apart from the mother, who's nice and charmed, and part of the joke with her is she's oblivious to the fact that the landlord is gay, even though he's stereotypically very gay. But all the women are just trashy sluts and either homophobic or just idiots. That's the either one or the other. And I don't know.
I did think his Danny's fiance was not necessarily likable, but she did come off as sympathetic.
Well, she was the main victim because her boyfriend was secretly pretending to be gay, and she was worried he was gay, and that ruined their relationship.
Good.
And he deserved it. That was an upcoming, so that's good.
You know? No, good.
She still had that kind of scene in the gay bar where she's like pointing people out, like this one's got a earring or something.
Yeah, she was. Like... Just when she's the more sympathetic, she's just, look at the gay men, they're funny looking.
Yeah.
Oh, I can't win.
That's the thing as well, it's like, she's got none of them have got any social skills either. Where it's like, you don't go to any bar, you don't go into any bar and start pointing at people and going, oh, look at this one. Yeah. Oh my god, woman, what the fuck is wrong with you?
I do that all the time, not at gay bars. I just like going, oh, look at the beard on this guy. But I'm just a horrible judgmental
you're whispering. You're not directly next to that person and pointing at them while they're looking at you.
Abby, have you met me? I think I do not whisper.
You're right. You're talking to Rich, who was the person who once got us told off when we went for lunch because he was saying disgusting things too loud.
Not offensive in and of themselves, but too taboo gross. For polite company, for the people
too
we weren't with.
Too taboo for a chip shop.
Right, let's take the focus off me and us. Back to the film. Our main characters, I think, are not good characters, but I think they're doing quite a good job of being funny. Like, I think they're charmingly because they are like an arguing couple all the time. That's part of the joke as well. Is now that they're two straight guys pretending to be gay, they keep doing things that make it seem like they're gay because they're bickering all the time about, shut up, we're trying to keep this covert and you're trying to fuck loads of sluts. And shut up, there were a couple, we were meant to be, like they keep arguing and getting in fights. And
yeah,
he kept
telling him not to do gay shtick, but it's like, no, he needs to exactly do gay shtick.
Yeah, Elliot's playing up to it, he's doing a...
But then he's also trying to
get really into it as well.
Yeah, that's the other thing. I thought that, and maybe it would just be too much for a film of this time, but it really seemed like it was going in that direction where Elliot like discovers he's gay at the end.
Yeah,
I don't think that would
even with the scene in the party.
Wouldn't have been as progressive. I think one of the progressive things was you had this straight guy who was happily showing himself off. I mean, yes, he was straight and he was trying to show off his body to women a lot, but he was fine with being naked in front of men. He didn't mind the attention from gay men. He wasn't homophobic.
Yes, he did.
He doesn't... Oh, he was, wasn't he?
He punches the guy out of the bar because he comes onto him, and then he drops the F-bomb at that party when he thinks he's found an attractive, if, strangely handsome woman, who he then takes into a back room, and then freaks out when he realizes it's a man. Like, what did you think was going to happen?
He's still friends with... He's still friends with his landlord and his neighbours. He just...
Kind of, but he seems like he's taking the piss. Like, he's friends with them because he thinks they're funny to watch because they're gay.
He doesn't laugh at them because they're gay. Sorry, Abby, go on.
I need to talk about this weird edit where the military guy goes, what did you think was going to happen? And then we come back to the party and it's like it didn't happen.
Yes.
Oh, how did that resolve? Anyone?
They had, the thing towards the end was the military guy who was investigating them to check they were or weren't gay, he turns up as like, as I think Anthony mentioned, he has a weird mask on, like an
executioner's mask.
Yeah.
And he basically voyeuristically watches the kind of misunderstanding in the bedroom there's the whole mix-up with is the transvestite a woman or not, and basically it becomes obvious that they're not really gay because he doesn't want to fuck a guy, and then it's like, see, caught you. And it was a bit confusing with the edit. It wraps up a bit too swiftly in the end. Like, we found it unsatisfying generally, but I'm not saying it hasn't got problems, guys. I think it was funny, and I don't think the negative characters of the two guys who are straight, just because they're dicks a lot of the time, I still think they were quite good in the film at being amusing and having... It's because they have a good conflict between them.
It's not the fault of the actors playing them. They're fine. It's just that the characters are horrible people, and there's no, and again, there's nothing wrong with having protagonists who aren't good people. There's plenty of really good films that have disgusting main characters, but they either are sort of like anti-heroes who, it's almost like a kind of sly wink to the audience, or they go through something that teaches them a lesson. Nothing happens to these guys other than, oh, well, I guess there's a mild inconvenience now. Well, I'll start school in a couple of months. Like, what? And what's his name? Elliot is like, I'm going to go down to Florida and shag a bunch of old women. Like, what?
their comeuppance isn't enough, I'll agree. Basically,
and he's like, oh, I'm sure it'll all blow over. Yeah, I'm sure it fucking will, you couple of dickheads.
Right, so their problem is they have been cowards and tried to be, you know, they've pretended to be gay when they shouldn't have. They've took advantage of the innocent
nice
gay community.
People.
Yeah, and they've lied to their parents, their girlfriends. And let's be honest, they're kind of, one of them's a womanizer, and one of them, I think at least, was going to cheat on his girlfriend. And he's been a bad boyfriend. They've lied and they've deceived, and it's very bad. And they're not going to go to the army because of the stupid ending, but they've kind of had to end. They've separated. Their friendship has been ruined a little bit, sort of. And they've, one of them's lost his girlfriend, and they're very somber and like, they've sort of, they haven't learned enough of they. You're right. You're totally right.
Yeah.
They needed to have a massive comeuppance, and they needed to learn some things and not be jerks.
It's just they didn't even have, like, the other thing they could have done and didn't is that Elliot could have realised how he objectifies women because of the way that men objectify him.
You're right, actually. And I didn't even think about that. Like, it could have totally played that, wow, this is really uncomfortable for people to just be, like, checking me out all the time and,
yes,
you know.
This is it. His narrative arc should have been, he learnt, I'm a piece of meat to these gay men, but I'm enjoying flaunting it at first. But actually, you know, I can
this
learn less.
Shallow
about,
and, yeah.
I can learn to be a better heterosexual, and the other guy perhaps could have learnt to be actually gay and get on with it.
I thought he was pretty irredeemable, though, because like the first thing, one of the first things you see him is pretending to be gay, moved on to, he's got a girlfriend, moved on to, he's sleeping with a prostitute. So, you know, like, right at the beginning of the film, he's really kind of presented as
actually,
a...
Actually, I was going to say, Danny, now that I think about it, because when I was watching it, I was more outwardly annoyed by Elliot. But now I really think about it, Danny's actually the worst of the two of them. Because Elliot is, he's brash and he's a dickhead, but, like...
He is single. He's, like,
and he just shags around and whatever, who cares. But Danny's, like, slimy. He's fucking rich and, like, manipulative.
He wants to have his cake and eat it. He wants his parents not to realise that he's pretending to be gay to get out of the army. And it doesn't really matter if they think being gay is good or bad, because it's mainly just, you know, he's trying to get out of the army in a sly way.
Yeah, and at the end he's like, ooh, consequences. And then, like... And
he's a jerk
that,
to his girlfriend, he's a jerk to his friends he's making in the gay community, he's a jerk to his friend.
I was going to say he's a dick to Elliot as well, because he says, Elliot, don't go on any dates or anything. Anyway, I'm going out on a date.
Yeah.
Like,
but he's got such sad puppy eyes, he's always confused by everything, he's always pulling a kind of face of, what is this strange, these gay camp things happening, and... I'm going to get in trouble again. He spends the whole time worried. I think it's slightly funny.
He reminded me of Matthew Broderick, and I was like, ugh.
Yeah.
That's harsh, but fair. I think it could have a remake with him, or could have had one when he was younger. Whatever. Oh, dear. I found myself... Do you know what? I think Abby said it right earlier on. The gay landlord and his boyfriend, or his husband... they were the best. I enjoyed every scene they were in. Even though they were cliched camp, I ate up every catty joke he made. His love. He was so lovely, and it was so funny how openly camp he was. He was so open and you know, he would be... I liked his little hurt face when usually women said something to hurt his feelings about either his taste in deck or standing on his flowers, which was so hilarious. And he was so hurt, and his boyfriend was so loving and would always say comforting things to people. They were the best, and I liked them. And I
wish the film had been about them.
Yeah, I liked some of the jokes in principle, but they were mostly broad and stupid. I apologise for defending it. The film was bad. Those two characters were amazing.
They were, just to try and redeem it slightly, there were a couple of jokes in there that I did like. There was the one of when you find out how much of a male whore Elliot is at the start when he talks to that clearly older and not his usual type of woman.
Cougar.
Yeah, and she's like, she's this kind of dumpier, older woman.
Yeah, the woman he puts suntan lotion on.
Yeah, and he's clearly been, like, shagging her. He's indiscriminate in his taste in women. And I...
Progressive?
Like, because that was early on in the film, and I hadn't realised how much of a horrible person he was yet, that made me like him a little bit more. Because it was funny, the idea that he's this hunky guy, and he just shags anyone and everyone because he can.
Hmm.
But then it turned out that he was an unlikable, disgusting caricature.
When he found out that that transvestite was a man, he should have been freaked out, and then he should have fucked him anyway.
Yes!
That would have worked. He should have had a moment of, oh no, and then, well, if you fancy me, it's a compliment, isn't it?
And there was one moment which isn't really alright, but it was so over the top that it just made me laugh at the absurdity of it, which is when there's been the fight at the party, and Malcolm's partner, I can't remember his name.
Craig?
Yes,
it was Craig. Says that he despises vulgar notoriety or something because there's been a fight at their party.
Yeah.
Malcolm like compliments the punch, and then and Craig kisses him on the cheek, and he winks at the camera, and it like freeze frames and zooms in on him.
That's their parting moment from the film.
I know, it was so out of place, and it was such a, oh, goodbye, Malcolm, I know that's the last time I see you in this film, and the rest of everything is just going to be a fucking slog.
It happened when the woman who had lotion put on her back, she took off her sunglasses and looked at the camera as well, and it was like, what's going on with these people?
Is this a carry-on film?
Oh, dear.
It leaves you with a really odd feeling, because I find you kind of have to weigh this film up both in the context of the time it was made and how we view it now, and I did just kind of find myself tittering and laughing kind of all the way through, just because it was kind of that mix of awkward, did they really just go there?
I can't believe they made this joke was often the laugh I had. That's where it's my enjoyment lay,
rather than with it.
Yeah. Over time, it's just become a really, just a really fascinating, campy time capsule to the past.
Yeah, exactly. I'm going to ask Abby, are there any other little moments you want to bring up? Preferably good, because I'm trying to find the good in it. But any bits you want to mention now?
It's not that so much. I just occurred to me that you've done what I do, where I always pick a film where Jamie inevitably says, and then I spent the rest of the time waiting for Michael Shannon to come back.
Michael Shannon to come back in this?
But no, you did it where... Yeah.
Michael Shannon's dad.
What did I expect?
But no, you've done it this time where we're just going, but we can't wait for the bit where Malcolm comes back.
Yeah, but he was in it, whereas you guys seem to expect characters to turn up when they're not in it.
No, it's just like whenever I pick a film based on an actor, it's almost always Jamie that says it, and then everyone agrees that you're just waiting for the person that I picked it for to come back. It happened in The Flamingo Kid,
it happened
in The Runaways, it happened in this.
I just thought
that was interesting, it wasn't me for a change.
They were in the clip I loved. And they were in the film, and I ended up liking the film because they were in it and they were the best part. And I didn't ignore the terribleness, but I kind of liked the time capsuleness, like Anthony's saying about it. I thought it was kind of ridiculously odd, but, you know, given the context, you know, normal.
I think I would have been a lot I would have been a lot more forgiving had the two main characters died at the end.
Or had something occur where their characters learn something and redeem themselves.
No, death.
Alright, well they could have been. I did suggest they could have some kind of war-based sodomy happen to them. That would be ironically punishing. Or pleasant. I mean, that would be the real kicker, is if they'd have gone to Vietnam and then, you know, they should have cut to them several years later as they run a gay bar in Vietnam. And they've become a successful couple.
I don't know, if they'd gotten drunk and bummed each other at some point in the film. Anything
and like
other
Abby
than
said,
this flat nowhere plot that happens.
If the women are all going to be jerks, there should be some kind of balance where the men at least learn to treat women better, or like men get a bad. Like, I think if anything, the one thing I would say that the gay characters are somewhat represented well, sometimes stereotypically, but there are a lot of good gay characters in it. There are not a lot of good heterosexual characters. They're all jerks mainly, and women, again, like, basically gay men are the only nice characters in it, and some of the gay men aren't nice characters. So, you know, it's really thin on the ground for likeable representations of people.
It's a film with a big cast, and only two of them are likable. I think that says everything about
it.
Yeah,
that's true. And one more scene I liked. When Malcolm comes in and is really nice and starts cooking breakfast for the stereotypically straight guy who makes bologna sandwiches and gets everything out and makes a mess and drops shit on the floor, Malcolm's like, I will rescue you. When I started in my, you know, when I got first married, you know, I was a terrible cook. And he does a wonderful scene where he sings, has a rose between his teeth and cooks omelettes. And even like the jerky heterosexual characters do come down and slightly mockingly enjoy watching him sing and dance and cook. And I thought the scene was charming. And it's another great moment in and of itself. What did you guys think of the breakfast time scene?
I think it was trying to present it as a little funnier than it was.
Yeah.
Because you just kind of have the guy, like Elliot to the side, kind of watching and kind of being quietly amused. Just like, really?
It's because he was being... I think it's because... It's an absurd thing to do, no matter who you are. Like, yeah, if you're enjoying making breakfast as much as he did, it is kind of funny. Like, it's not that, ha-ha, he's gay. It was that. But it was also, look how happy this man is making an omelette that looked a bit horrible, to be honest. It looked kind of grey.
Yeah, I was going to say it was a grey omelette.
And then he was
there was a problem with some of the noddy shots in general in this.
Some continuity.
Where it's like, cut back to this one laughing or cut back to this guy crying, and you're just like, you've held that shot for too long, and I don't think they know what they're reacting to, really.
That happened a bit, didn't it? Like, that was a bit off with it, generally.
There was also just, like, one scene, it's not good, I just kind of remember it, because it was just like, what was that about? Where the, like, his fiancée is just on a boat with some doctor, discussing psychological problems of his boyfriend.
Say,
like, what is this?
I was going to say he because you know the scene earlier where it like suggests that the dad thinks that Elliot's a paedophile because he might be gay or whatever. Later on, when the fiance is on the boat with this guy who is much older and has a mustache and is like rubbing her arm, I thought, why is she on the boat with a paedophile?
Yeah.
So
you're bringing a lot of stuff to the table here, Jamie, I reckon. I mean,
I just thought it was a gross film.
It was
mostly.
There was a bit too many characters that were had opinions that weren't nice. And actually there was one guy when Elliot was being fired for being a gay lifeguard or whatever, there was one guy working there going, oh, come on, don't fire him. I mean, just because there was a bit of banter in the shower, everyone's a bit gay. Like, you know, like, there was one heterosexual defending. There's maybe two or three heterosexuals who aren't complete jerks. Like, the mum doesn't do anything other than react to the situation. So, but everyone's a jerk except the two gay guys. Like, you said it, Jamie. I've had a realisation, and I like them, and that's enough.
What a horrible film.
It wasn't horrible. It was trying to be progressive. I still defend it wasn't trying to be offensive and homophobic. It was just having fun with that topic.
Yeah.
But in a questionable way.
Because it did, like we said, it did try and present the kind of more serious side to, like, society and how gay people kind of are portrayed in it. But I don't know, it's weird. The audience are supposed to feel at the end like that. It's like, oh yeah, gays, nothing. There's nothing wrong with them, and it's all fine. But yet, none of the characters are privy to that like revelation.
Yes, that's the
problem. So it's kind of weird.
Yeah, the characters needed to learn, not just the audience.
Mm.
Okay, so I think we're at the time where we sum up our feelings in a rating of some kind here at Spoiler Filled. It's usually a hashed out metaphor on the fly relating to the film. Has anyone got any thoughts?
I have one.
You do? Abby's ready. She's been thinking. Good. Go.
I don't like sheet icing.
Okay. Is this the time? Was this in the cookery podcast?
I'm not going to get that. I just wanted to... Yeah, I need to context, you know. So okay. On cakes where it's literally they've had that big sheet of ice, they've tucked it down.
Mm. Abby, I will say, having edited a bunch of podcasts recently, you always go for the food metaphor first.
Fuck you.
You should just, also, just have a sandwich before the podcast. You don't like sheet icing. Go on.
Yeah. So this movie is whenever I get presented with either like a small birthday cake because it's my birthday, or there is a birthday cake and I receive some, and I just peel off the sheet icing, throw it away. I never eat it. And this film is like that, where I'm just going to peel off the homophobia and repugnancy and eat the cake that is Malcolm.
Yes. I agree. That is the way to eat this particular cake. And it'll be, you know, good for your thighs as well. I've got one. The whole film, and I didn't ask you guys much about the interior of the place. Why not now? Anyone thoughts on the decor in the house? Either Malcolm's or his house that he gives to the two guys. I mean,
I like
OMG,
the layout
my cover
of
it.
The houses in general.
It's a one-bedroom house where they have one shared bed, but it sort of the landing goes a weird way, doesn't it? And it's like an L shape as well. Is that what you mean, Abby? Or
I thought it was a really interesting shape of house. I also liked the outside of Malcolm's house a lot, where he had those steps that came down.
Yeah,
I like that.
I could live in either one. I mean, I might have to increase the number of Da Vinci's David lampshades. I've got to have a few more of those. Thoughts on the house? I mean, it was mental, interior-wise. No, just...
kind of summed it up, really.
Just too much, Rich. Just too much.
So
that is also my review. It was too much.
Too much. Yeah.
It was just, but for me, the film is like the interior of the house. It's the big garish pink bedroom with loads of perfumes about the place, and the living room, which has loads of really amazing scatter cushions that look so fluffy and furry. And it's garish and dated and wrong, but I kind of want to live in it. I want to live in that world with that landlord, and I'm happy to have all the terrible ornaments and furniture because it's kind of a talking point. It's kind of amazingly wrong. So the whole house was meant to be stereotypically like trendy and as if a gay man with no taste had designed it. And it is a bit like the film is designed by probably a straight man with no taste, guided by a gay hand, which is a very odd sentence. But and the name
that's
of like a homophobic
like
horror film.
guided by a gay hand.
Yeah.
And I think the film is like that house. You can't... Lots of people see it and they go, oh my god, this is the worst. And me, I went, it is the worst. But I'm buying it. And I'm going to live here in my big pink bed with my fancy ensuite. So that's what I thought of the film. I kind of liked it, but perhaps for the wrong reasons.
So for you, it's more of a McDonald's meal, where it's like, you know it's bad, you're eating it anyway.
I think I've developed a metaphor out of that one. It kind of carries on from it being summed up by the house. I would say that.
Sorry, Jamie. I've had a horrible vision that I want to mention. I can't go without being said. We'll get back to it. The costume at the party, which is Dracula robe, and then revealing a metal leaf over the crotch.
I actually have a note about this, and I didn't bring it up because I really have nothing of substance to say other than Draculadam. Because he had the, Adam, you know, the fig leaf like Adam, and then wore a Dracula cape.
I mean, and it made everyone at the party very happy because all gay men are lecherous. Isn't that right, Anthony?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, no, my metaphor is basically the same as yours in that it's summed up by the interior decor of the house that they move into, but imagine that that house has been abandoned and not done up since the 60s, and you've, like, accidentally stumbled upon it through all the weeds that have grown over the door, and it's, like, it's all the same stuff, but it's all mouldy and rotten, and there's, like, cobwebs everywhere, and maybe, and like, a dead possum or something.
And Malcolm's still there, like, what's the book where she's wearing the wedding dress and she's still... That one.
Oh, Jesus. I know the one you mean, I don't remember what it's
Dickens?
Called.
Which one? Great Expectations?
Yeah, that's the one. Yeah. Jamie, you kind of stole what I was going to say.
Great Expectations.
Yeah, that's Malcolm in really beaten up old denim shorts.
Yeah, because for my metaphor, I was just going to go with the kind of, it's like the trashy 60s object, which no one has liked for the last 30 decades, like 3 decades, and then all of a sudden it's just kind of back in fashion for this small period of time where it's kind of camp, and you're like, oh, did people really like this? It's kind of interesting to put in the corner.
It comes back out of nostalgia and actually gets exposed as to how gross it is.
Can I have another one?
Go on.
I was gonna say, it's like when you go into a cafe sometimes that has all of its decor from the 1960s, and you feel like, it's kind of cool that I'm standing in here, but then I can see that there's grease up there. Is that from 1961?
These net curtains aren't period. These are from that time.
There's also the fear that when you go back outside, it will also be the 60s, and you've gone to some kind of horrible Goodnight Sweetheart Austin Powers situation.
Oh, dear. Oh, yeah, I also think it's kind of like a lava lamp where, oh, it's cool and 60s and dated, and, oh, having one in real life, they're really impractical and they're incredibly hot and burn you if you touch them, and they take ages and are kind of shit after a while.
Oh. Yeah, it's only fun to look at for the first, like, few hours, and then it's just there.
But I don't know.
And someone comes around your house and goes, oh, cool, you've got a lava lamp, and you go, yeah, and then it never comes up again.
Don't make me plug it in, it's honestly a death leaf.
You really putting us all out if I have to plug this thing in.
There's one, you need just, like, it's like, and then the best thing about this film is my 5-minute clip of the best quote about, well, it just...
Go and look at the lava lamp in the shop, don't buy one, take it home.
That's it, in a nutshell. Oh. So we've all been gay deceived. And I think that pretty much finishes us all off. Time to bid our listeners goodbye then, guys.
Toodaloo, listeners.
I can't think of anything funny.
Just be offensively homophobic or camp, whichever. Bye! It's like awful. No, goodbye. You know, she's right. That's the line he says. I forgot what Craig said. And she's, when that woman says, like, the woman tramples on his
the flowers.
And she's like, they're not peonies, they're not marigolds. Peonies. And he's like, oh, I think she's right. And he's so shocked by it. And then he has to comfort him. Oh, it's such a good bit.
I do like the gay stereotype that he is. That very, like, reserved, not camp, but still obviously gay,
soft-spoken,
older man.
I mean, there were some great clothes in it as well. That was the other thing. Costumes and 60s wear, amazing.